Hallelujah. God has used many great men throughout the history of the church. But you and I know that what God did with Papa Kenneth Hagin is still vibrating with us till today. And we are privileged to have National Director, Kenneth Hagin's Bible Training Center, Nigeria. I believe that God has invested in him so much of that inheritance, and we are here to receive of it. Sir, we are grateful. So with Jesus' joy, can you please welcome, celebrate the Reverend.
Like to start by saying a big thank you to Pastor David for the privilege afforded me to be here, for us to study God's word together and be blessed by the word of God. Now, the theme of the meeting is pneumaticos. So I'd like to turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll read verse 1. It says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant." Now, incidentally, the word gift is in italics. So it actually says, "Now, concerning spirituals, brethren, I will not have you ignorant." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We approach your word humbly and reverently this morning. We trust that by your spirit, you'll unveil, unfold, and reveal the word of God unto our spirits. We're hungry for the moving of your spirit. Thank you, Father, for teaching us, enabling us, impacting our lives. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So, it says, concerning spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. Now, if you would like to title my message, I'm not going to finish it this morning. I'll continue in the evening. You might want to title it, Seven Important Things About Gifts of the Spirit. Seven Important Things About Gifts of the Spirit. That's what I'll be sharing on. I'm not going to rush it. I'm going to take my time. So the very first thing I'll say is this. Number one, that God does not want us ignorant about the things of the Spirit. God does not want us ignorant about the things of the Spirit. You see, ignorance about those things is going to hinder us from yielding to them, from flowing in them. And that's why they can be taught, and they should be taught. Pneumaticos is things often pertaining to the Holy Ghost. God wants us to know about them. The thing is this, our knowledge, the more we know about those things, the easier it becomes for us to yield to them. Yes, we're the body of Christ, we're Christians. And Christianity is primarily about the word of God. We ought to put the word first. We ought to put the preaching and the teaching of the word first. But I like something someone said. I heard it from Pat Harrison. She said this. She said, "Just the word and you may dry up. Just the spirit and you may blow up." He said, but with the word and the spirit, you get to grow up. So you see, it takes both. Yes, the word must come first. But you see, who inspired that word? Was it not the Spirit of God? Who teaches us that word? Is it not the Spirit of God? Who anoints us to teach that word? Is it not the Spirit of God? Yes, God's plans and purposes in a general sense are revealed to us on the pages of the Holy Writ, in a general sense. But in a specific sense, God has a specific plan for each of our lives. How are we going to know that? It's the Holy Spirit that will guide us into those things. Of course, the Spirit and the Word agree. The Spirit of God won't guide us in a way that contradicts God's Word. It will be in line with God's Word. But God wants us to know about these things. Now, Brother Hagin, in 1987, July 16, that was a Thursday morning, just the week before the annual camp meeting that began in 1973, he was praying in the spirit and interpreting his prayers in tongues just by himself in the nighttime. Then something unusual happened. He heard these words, plans. He knew there was more to it. Plans, purposes. Then eventually he interpreted it all, plans, purposes, and pursuits. The moment he said that, he was caught up in the spirit. And then the Lord appeared to him. It was part vision, part revelation. All of it lasted about 2 hours, 50 minutes. In the course of that vision, Jesus said to him, he said, there is a move of the spirit that will be lost to this generation except they are led into it. That the modern day charismatics, they know a little bit about praising me, but next to nothing about real New Testament worship. Then he said this, he said, there are other people in the body of Christ who help get the job done on the faith teaching, such as Charles Capps. He said, I want you to teach about the Holy Ghost. And so Brother Hagin began to put emphasis on that. Now, May 1950, while he was in Houston, Texas, he had an audible voice from heaven. The voice said to him, I want you to go teach my people faith. I've taught you faith through my word. I permitted you to go through certain experiences. You've learned faith both through my word and by experience. I want you to go teach my people what I've taught you. I want you to go teach my people faith. So yes, that's his primary assignment. But you see, as important as walking by faith is, as important as it is to teach the subject of faith, the fact is this, not everybody is going to receive by faith. That's how we should receive. That's what we should put first. But not everybody is going to receive that way. If you study the ministry of Jesus, his healing ministry, for instance, talking about the individual testimonies of healings that took place under the ministry of Jesus, you discover there were 19 of them. Now, 12 out of the 19, faith is mentioned as to how they received. But the remaining 7, we see that it was manifestations of the Spirit. Now, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is, then the primary way people are going to receive from God today also is going to be by faith. However, it's not everybody that will receive that way. You see, there's the unbeliever. He's not even a child of God. He probably doesn't believe in Jesus. Usually, God does these things as signs and wonders to get their attention. For instance, remember in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, from verse 5 through to 8, the Bible tells us that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. It says the people gave heed in one accord, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits, crying out loud voices, came out of many that were possessed. Many that were lame and had the palsy were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now we're told in Acts 21:8, Philip is called the evangelist. So Philip was an evangelist. Now our only New Testament model of an evangelist, yes, he preached Christ. But to confirm the preaching of Christ, there were manifestations of the Spirit. There was the miraculous. Amen. You see, God has the right of divine sovereignty to do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it, whenever he wants to do it, provided it does not violate his word. Are you listening? And one of the ways God wields that divine sovereignty is through manifestations of the Holy Ghost. So God wants us to know about those things. God wants us to teach about those things. You see, we know there are three kinds of men on the earth today. There's the natural man. The natural man is the one who's never been born again. There's the carnal man. Yes, he's born again, but he's still dominated by his physical senses. He's a baby Christian. And then there's a spiritual man who has grown to mature manhood in Christ. And he's born again spirit. Has gained ascendancy over his soul and his body. He's governed by the word of God. He knows God. Now, the bulk of the body of Christ is not spiritual. That's just a fact. And then There's a natural man. Now, the spiritual man doesn't need to see to believe. He believes because God's word says it. But this carnal man, he still needs some help. You know, God being the kind of person he is, while he's reaching out to bring man to his level, he also understands that some of them could die if he waits for that to happen before they get any help. So what does God do? God also reaches down to man's level and blesses him there. So that's why we have manifestations of the Holy Ghost. And we need to know about those things. We need to teach about those things. The more we teach about them, the more we will see them. The more we know about them, the easier it will become to yield to them. You see, what you are not up on, you are down on. I had a minister say one time, he was quoting from 2 Peter 1. And he said, if these things be in you and abide, they make you that ye shall never fall. He said, all this falling under the power thing is because the word of God does not abide in people. That when the word actually abides in you, you won't fall. Now, that's a loose interpretation of that scripture. Incidentally, the man who wrote half the New Testament, he began his Christian experience falling under the power. When Jesus was raised from the dead, you know, and they got there by the graveside, they fell and became as dead men. Ever seen a dead man stand? You know, when they came to arrest Jesus and he said, I am he. The Bible says they fell over backwards. Praise God. So you see, if you criticize these things, what you knock, you will never attract. Do you understand? Yes, we put the word first. Yes, we encourage people to know God's word, stand their ground on God's word, live by God's word. However, God also does things to bless us. You know, even the spiritual man, Paul, remember, in Acts 21, in verse 11, Agabus took Paul's girdle, said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem do to the man that owned this girdle. What was that? That was a word of wisdom. Who was it for? To bless Paul, to prepare him for what lay ahead. Yes, Paul said, I go bound in the spirit. He had said that in chapter 20. I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what will befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every place that bonds and afflictions abide me. So Paul already had a witness in his heart. But then God also still moved that way. Are you listening to me? So you see, we need to know about the things of the Spirit. We need to teach about the gifts of the Spirit, because the lost, God wants to get the attention. Remember in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So yes, faith will come to people's hearts as God's word is preached, and many will receive by faith, but the Holy Ghost also confirms that word through manifestations of the Spirit. And those manifestations of the Spirit, they are independent of your faith. That's the truth. You know, one time, one lady came to Kathy Kuhlman's meeting to prove that her miracles were fake. You know? Yeah, one fellow, I'm not sure it's a man or a woman, came to Kathy Kuhlman's meeting to show that her miracles were fake. All of a sudden, Miss Kuhlman pointed at that person's direction. He said, there's somebody here. You don't believe in these miracles. You came here to try to get evidence that it's all a lie. But you have a pacemaker in your heart. You have a heart disease. You are healed right now. And the person got healed. The pacemaker vanished. The machine that was in the heart. You know, what better person to use to testify to the miraculous than the one who doesn't believe there's a God? So that person, you know, if that person goes and says, you see, that thing is real. Everybody say, eh? And everybody say, I know that man. He did not believe in that woman. He did not believe in those things. He did not believe in the supernatural. See, God will do some things sometimes as a sign. Just as a sign. God will do some things sometimes as a wonder. Someone says, what's a sign? It makes you sigh. What's a wonder? It makes you wonder. Amen. And signs will make you sign out too. Sign out of your skepticism. So, you see, God does these things. And we need to teach about the things of the Spirit. There was one camp meeting. This lady came with her husband. They were using the Tulsa Convention Center then. She couldn't get to stay in the main auditorium. Had to stay in one of the overflow places, you know, because of the time they got there. So there were just two seats left. She and her husband sat there. The husband wasn't born again. The husband criticized the message that Brother Hagin preached from beginning to end. Then the time came, he started laying hands on the sick, and they were falling under the power like dominoes. And then the man just said, that's just hocus pocus. He's just hypnotizing them. That's what he said. It was a nuisance. The people around him might have been distracted. He was full of unbelief and doubt and skepticism, you know. But this is it. The man had a heart problem, you know. All of a sudden, as the meeting was going on, the man turned white as a sheet. And then the man began to say, it's going all over me. It's going all over me. It's going all over me. The wife said, what's the matter, honey? What's going all over you? He said, that power that preacher talked about. No, Brother Hagin had talked about the healing anointing, that it's a tangible substance, a heavenly materiality, that just as electricity is God's power in the natural, the anointing is God's power in the supernatural. He had talked about that. So the man was feeling electricity going all over his body. Well, after the meeting, went back to see his doctor. His doctor told him, said, someone up there likes you. He said, you got a brand new heart. Yeah. And guess what? The man got saved too. The man got saved too. You know, someone said, how come God to heal that man? Well, Christ died for the ungodly and he sure qualified. Are you listening to me? So there's something about those things. We need to teach them. Not just teach them, we need to contend for them. We need to contend for the move of the Spirit. We need to contend for the gifts of the Spirit. We need to contend for the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. I was in a meeting once. All of a sudden, you know, just as I was about to preach, incidentally, I was teaching along these lines. It was four Sundays, you know, in that month. I was invited to minister in this assembly. I think it was the third one. Just before I got to preaching, had gotten on the pulpit to minister, I felt drawn to somebody in the crowd. I got to that man. I had him stand in the aisle. He did. And I just sensed in my heart to lay hands on him. I laid hands on him. He fell over backwards, you know, and I didn't think much of it. By the time he hit the ground, he was talking in tongues. I got to find out later the man was a Muslim. Yeah. He got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. By the time he hit the floor, it all happened. Someone said, but he didn't pray the sinner's prayer. I said, that's a wonder to me too. Someone says, how come God to do that? You know, well, you know, sometimes they'll ask Jesus a question. He will answer them with a question. They said, by what authority do you do these things? They need to ask them. He said, John's baptism, is it of men or of God? So when someone asked me about that, I said, I've always wondered what happened in Cornelius' house. Because while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell. And then they got filled and began to talk in tongues. Amen. So what am I saying? We need to know about the gifts of the Spirit. We need to teach about them. One time, I was doing some evangelism. Just street evangelism. There was this fellow, you know, I said to him, I said, guess what? You greeted him. He said, what's that? I said, I'm a new creature. He said, what's a new creature? Oh, I just thought to myself, if you don't know what a new creature is, in all probability, you aren't one. So I just shared with him the gospel. Didn't try to be a nuisance. Didn't try to poke something down his throat. But just respectfully shared with him about Jesus. I got through. I didn't ask him, do you want to get saved? I told him, I said, I know you want to get saved, right? So let's just pray together. You know, you need to be persuasive. Then the man told me, he said, I'm not interested. As soon as he said that, my feathers fell. It was like my balloon got deflated. What is this with all this my preaching, you know? And then I looked on the inside of me, and just on the inside of me, I had a word of knowledge, actually. I told the man, I said, you were born on such and such a date. Yeah, I told him his date of birth, told him the day of the week it was. When I did that, he looked at me, he said, who told you that? I said, well, this Jesus, I just got through preaching to you. He's the one that told me that. Well, I got him born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you see, that's what gifts of the Spirit are. It got his attention. I witnessed one man one time, just straight evangelism. Went to his house, door to door, you know. Yeah, I shared Jesus. I said, yeah, let's get saved. I know you want to get saved. Let me minister. Let me pray the sinner's prayer with you. He said he's not interested. You know, he was of another religion. I said, would you mind if I Is there anything you'd like for me to pray for? He said, yeah. He had a particular sickness in his body. He was in the pain at the moment. I said, okay, would you mind if I pray in the name of Jesus? He said, he wouldn't mind. You know, people need help. They need help. So I laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. And this was my prayer. Father, just to let this man know that you love him and how much you love him, I ask that you heal him now of such and such a condition in Jesus' name. You know, as soon as I got, he said, he's gone. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. He didn't believe in Jesus, but he sure needed help. And God can heal people on credit. Amen. He can do it before they get saved, after they get saved, even if they don't get saved, just to let them know he loves them. Amen. So you see, that's how we need to teach about the things of the Spirit. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'll not have you ignorant. Verse 2 says, ye know that you are Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So this leads me, remember my first point, God does not want us ignorant about the things of the Spirit. So we need to study about them. We need to teach about them. We need to contend for knowledge in that area. Ignorance of them will hinder us from walking in them. Now, it's interesting, the Corinthian church that Paul told that God doesn't want them ignorant about the things of the Spirit. Paul said of them in 1 Corinthians 1:7 that they came behind in no gift. Even though they came behind in no gift, even though they had all the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit, they still needed some correction. They still needed some instruction. Amen. They still needed to know how to make the best use of what they had. It's still possible to be ignorant. You can be walking in something to some degree and be a bit ignorant about it. Then abuse becomes inevitable, misuse, and all those things. Praise God. You know, there are people that will merchandise the anointing. There are people that will use gifts of the Spirit to line their pockets. That's an abuse. That's not the purpose of those things. Amen. It's to be a blessing to God's people. So God does not want us ignorant. So we need to study. We need to teach about them. That was my first point. My second point is this. And you'll find that second point in the second and third verses of 1 Corinthians 12. Is this. Gifts of the Spirit, number 2, second point. Gifts of the Spirit always magnify Jesus. Gifts of the Spirit always magnify Jesus. They don't magnify me. They don't magnify you. They don't magnify my ministry. They don't magnify your ministry. They don't magnify my church. They don't magnify your church or anybody else's church or anybody else's ministry or any other minister. There's just one superstar and his name is Jesus. So it's important to always remember that it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about glorifying Jesus. If you want to see the move of the Spirit, emphasize the finished work of redemption. Emphasize the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It's about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. It's always about magnifying him, his finished work, his person, the fact that he came to redeem man, his love for humanity. Are you listening to me? So gifts of the Spirit magnify Jesus. They point attention to Jesus. They don't point attention to a man. Now, it's one thing we must all be careful about. Brother Hagin said the first vision he had of Jesus, September 2, 1950, in Rockwall, Texas. You know, they had been doing this meeting. It rained that night. Not many people came. So there at the altar, he was praying. And then he heard a voice say, come up hither. He thought there was someone cussing, being a nuisance. He stopped. He heard it saying, come up hither. He was thinking maybe one of the deacons ought to go and stop that fellow who's making that noise. Opened his eyes and all of a sudden, the tent where they were, the roof was gone. And then he saw Jesus standing there. Jesus beckoned on him. And then he was caught up. You know, Jesus first showed him hell and said, warn people about this place. Many of my children get saved. They talk about their mansions in heaven, talk about the glories of heaven, but they don't care about the lost. Told him there's a soul winner's crown. You know, Brother Hagin was very passionate about the lost. Well, Jesus took him up to heaven, and a number of things happened. While they were done, you know, Jesus gave him a special anointing to minister to the sick. after he gave him that, you know, then he warned him about two things. He said, number one, be careful about money. He said, many that I've called and placed my anointing upon, they have become money-minded and they have lost the ministry and the anointing I gave to them. Then he said to him, he said, thou shalt take no charge for thy ministry. He said, yeah, there will be people who will be willing to pay thousands of dollars to get healed in your meeting and for their children to get healed. And many of them will get healed, but don't take charge for ministering to them. Yes, you can receive offerings as you have been doing, but don't charge people to minister to them. Don't do that. And be careful about money. It's one of the reasons Brother Hagin never took any royalty for his books. Nothing wrong with taking royalty, but he didn't because Jesus had warned him. So he went the extra mile. Where those things are concerned, his books, his tapes, he easily could have been the richest preacher on the planet. Easily, if he took just 10%. Easily could have competed among the richest people on the earth. And there's nothing wrong with being rich. God wants us rich. But you see, he wants us to have money. He doesn't want money to have us. Yeah. And there's something about the anointing. Yeah. Something about the power of God in manifestation, in demonstration. Brother, you can talk about one minister. You know, people came from deaf and dumb institution, five of them, laid hands on each of them. Their ears popped open. They were instantly healed. As soon as that happened, the man began to take an offering. He said, don't come here if you don't have $50. Now, $50 in the 50s may be like hundreds of thousands of naira today. See people jumping on top of each other to bring $50. Some of them really couldn't afford it. You know, what was the man doing? That looked like merchandising the anointing, isn't it? Things like that, we should be careful about them. We noticed that man didn't live too long, you know. But then Jesus told him, he said, make sure you give the glory to my name. Make sure you give the glory to my name. So I'm still talking about the fact that gifts of the Spirit magnify Jesus. Make sure you give the glory to my name. Make sure you give the glory. Don't take the glory to yourself. Yeah, does God want us glorified? He sure does. You know, whom he predestined, you know, he called, whom he called. You know, we're called to be conformed to the image of his son, whom he called, he glorified. So yes, God wants us glorified. The end goal of grace is glory, isn't it? Yeah. But, and man, God crowned man with glory, isn't it? Yeah. What is man that mindful of? Son of man, thou visitest him. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5. You know, so, yeah, God wants us glorified, but there's the sense of we don't take the glory. The glory goes to his name. Now, you know, Jesus ministered to the sick, right? Matthew 4:23, went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So yes, he did. He healed the sick. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But ask that Jesus. Jesus never claimed to do it. Jesus said, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Jesus said, you know, the works that I do, he said, it's the Father doing them. So Jesus always pointed to the Father. Now, there's a sense in which he told them, Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. But why didn't Moses enter the promised land? Well, for one, you know, and it was Joshua that did. Joshua means savior, is a Hebrew word for Jesus, isn't it? Yeah, so it's Jesus that will take us there. Not the law. Yes, there's that. But there's also the fact that Moses disobeyed God. That was the immediate context. The immediate thing. What was his disobedience? God told him, speak to the rock. He struck the rock. He didn't just strike the rock once. He struck it twice. And then God said, because you did not sanctify me before the people. Listen, we must always sanctify him before the people. Never make it like it's me. Always let people know, is Jesus doing it? Is Jesus who did that? 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 You know, I tell people, for instance, people introduce ministers. Nothing wrong with honoring ministers. It's good. It's right. It's scriptural to give honor to whom honor is due. But sometimes there's a fine line there that if we're not careful, we can cross and not even realize. You know? You see, none of us is anything in ourselves. And we need to remind ourselves and remind the people we minister to, I'm not a big deal. You are not a big deal. None of us is any big deal. There's only one big deal. His name is Jesus. Yes. If we're a deal, and yes, we're a deal, really. You know, maybe we could even say we're a big deal. The only reason we are is because we are in him. You see, it's Jesus who is everything. In ourselves, we're nothing. But it is in him that we are something. So it's always important. Gifts of the Spirit magnify Jesus. Gifts of the Spirit magnify Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Gifts of the Spirit magnify Jesus. So it's about the person of Jesus. It's about the finished work of redemption. It's about giving him the glory, giving him the honor. You know, there's something about hiding behind the cross, right? Yes, we don't preach a cross religion. It's a throne religion. Jesus went to the cross, but he's not there anymore. He died. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father today. And we're there seated with him. But there's a sense in which we must hide behind that cross. And don't project yourself. Don't project yourself. You know, in this day of social media stuff, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with putting out the word. There's nothing wrong with putting out, this is what we're doing. This is what's happening. This is what God's word says. And using those mediums or media as tools to put out God's word. But sometimes there's a fine line. If you're not careful, a place comes where it's not really the word that it's about. It's about me. It's about how I will advance my course. It's about how I will blow. It's about how I will trend. It's about how our church, did you see how many likes it had? And there's nothing wrong with it. You know, wanting the message to get out. But remember, it's never about you. It's never about you. It's always about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. You see, sometimes we can cross these lines and not even realize it. So if you want to see the genuine move of God's Spirit in the dimension that God wants us to see it, it must be about Jesus. See, there's something about reverencing God. There's something about a fear of God. Yeah, we're not afraid of God in the sense that you're afraid of a snake. But there's a reverence we should have for the things of God. Here's some people say, give the man upstairs a wiper, a wiper. Hi! You hear things like that. You know, sometimes you come to church and thank God, you know, you folks are not that way. But it can just be, hey, ho, hey, ho. And it's just, you don't know whether it's Hipopure you are singing or it's Jesus we are worshiping. Are you listening? A reverence for God. Just some honor for him. Some honor for him. For instance, talking along this line about the fact that gifts of the Spirit magnify Jesus. So I'm talking about the place of worshiping God. See, there's something about reverence. There's something about the worship of God. You know, Psalm 22 verse 3 says, thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. He inhabits our praises. God answers prayers, but he inhabits praises. Yes, we are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Well, Paul said that. He wasn't sure they got it. So he wrote them again, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He still wasn't sure they got it. So he wrote them again another letter, 2 Corinthians 6. From verse 14 to 16, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. So you see, we are God's temple. We are God's temple. We are God's temple. The Spirit of God dwells in us. He dwells in us. In the Amplified Classic of 1 Corinthians 3:16, said, do you not know and do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, individually and collectively, are God's temple, his very sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling to be at home in you? So you see, we are his temple individually and also collectively. When we come together, we form a bigger vessel for God to fill. And you see, just acknowledging that he's present. That's what we do when we worship him. We are saying we reverence him, that he is here in our midst. You see, the world claps, but saints lift up holy hands. Is there a place to clap in a service? Of course. As a natural gesture of welcome, a guest minister comes. It's okay to clap for them. Pastor is coming up. You celebrate the pastor. Let's put our hands together for him. Now, don't say let's put our hands together for Jesus as the pastor comes up or as the guest minister. It's not Jesus we're clapping for. It's that man. And it's okay as a natural gesture of welcome. The choir is about to come up to sing. Let's celebrate the choir as they come up. They are the ones we're applauding. But listen, when they finish ministering, don't let's clap for them. Let's reverence God. You see, you know, we're not performers, right? We're not performers. We're ministers. We're ministers. So that reverence, that honor for God, when we reverence him, okay, someone is preaching, and I like it. You know, go to some churches, you're not sure you're in a mortuary. You know, you're not sure you're in by a graveyard. Yeah, believe in church being animated. I believe in, let's praise God. And let's be upbeat, not beating down. Are you listening to me? So nothing wrong with that. I like the way you guys are exuberant, expressive. That's good. Amen. Amen. Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Wow, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, what I'm talking about is that reverence. The more we worship God, the more he will manifest himself. The more we reverence God. You know, in Acts 13, verse 1, there were in the church, there was an Antioch, certain prophets and teachers such as Barnabas, Simon that was called Niger, Lucy of Cyrene, Manian that was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Something about ministering to the Lord. In that atmosphere of ministering to him, he moves. Why is it like that? I don't know, but that's how he is. You know, many times, if we're not careful, we just come to church to get something. We come to church to receive something. We sing songs about who we are in Christ, and we should. You know? But how about having some services where it's not about us? We're just coming to worship God. And we're not worshiping him as a means to an end. You know, as a keys to breakthrough, worship. So it's not really that you are worshiping. It's breakthrough you are looking for. You are just trying to use God to get your breakthrough. Listen, and he's a good father, right? You know, and he'll still help us. But how about, this is not, I'm not coming because I'm not worshiping you so that you will do something for me. I'm just worshiping you because you're a good God. Because you are worthy of my worship. Because you are the sovereign creator, a merciful father. You are loving and kind. In that kind of atmosphere, the Spirit of God moves. In Acts 16, verse 25 and 26, the Bible says at midnight. Now, this literally happened at midnight. But it could also signify the midnight hour of your life. That hour of test, when things are bleak, when things are hopeless, when things are dark. It says at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. But that's not where they stopped. It says, and sang praises to God. Says, and the prisoners heard them. But not only the prisoners, somebody else heard them. God Almighty heard them. I guess he looked over the banisters of heaven and said, what's that coming up to me? And maybe Gabriel or someone said, oh, it's Paul and Silas. They're there in jail at Philippi. But they're praising and worshiping you nonetheless. And then God reached over the banisters of heaven and shook that jail up real good until the whole place flung open. Their prison doors flung open. The chains flung open. Whoa, glory to God. When we praise him, when we worship him, something about it causes his power to be in manifestation. When we reverence him, now this has a lot to do with the move of the Spirit, an atmosphere of worship. Now, it's not just worship, it's not just what we do when we sing in church. Worship is how we live. Worship includes what we do with our bodies, right? Worship involves how we, our lifestyle. Worship includes what we do with our minds. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You see, but I thought his gifts of the Spirit, this man is meant to be talking about. Well, that's what he's talking about. Living a life that brings God glory. Living a life that brings God honor. You know, in 2 Timothy 2, from verse 19 to 21, the Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It says, for in a great house there are many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor, some of gold or silver or wood or stubble. It says, if any man will purge himself from these things, he'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, it's interesting that it's the apostle of grace that said this. Now, you see, we can't earn God's grace. Otherwise, it's not grace. So we're not trying to earn grace, right? God furnishes grace as he chooses. He calls whom he wants to call, whom he wants to call. He anoints them as he wants. He furnishes that. But I tell you, 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. While God furnishes the call and he furnishes the gift, man needs to qualify himself. You know, if it was God who were ministering, no, God forgives, he forgets, and he doesn't remember it ever happened. But it's not God we're ministering to, it's people. Are you listening? The currency of ministry is trust. That's the currency of ministry. The more I trust you, the easier it becomes to receive from you, isn't it? So we want to live in such a way that the people can trust us. It's not God's side, right? But also from God's side, imagine God just lavishes his power on someone, and the first thing the person does, somebody offends them, the person just says he kills them. He just died the next day. He said, before this person will kill all my children. Do you see that? So there's a sense. You see, in Isaiah 52:11, the Bible says, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. I tell you something, revival fire burns brighter through purer vessels. Yes, sir. Revival fire burns brighter through purer vessels. The Corinthian church, were they carnal? They were. There was somebody sleeping with his father's wife, and the whole church knew and winked. There are people who used to patronize Zone 4. Yeah, Corinthian church, tongue-talking people, Zone 4. You know, the Zone 4 I'm talking about. Well, if you don't understand, don't bother. It's not you I'm talking to. Amen. Are you listening? Yeah. They used to take each other to court, believer to believer. Maybe they will even be talking in tongues in that about the case. Fighting each other. Stupid fights. You know, their communion, they used to shayo as a shayo. Then it's obvious they were using alcoholic stuff. Because people used to get drunk. Corinthian church. The division they had, some said, I'm of Paul. Some other said, I'm of Apollos. Some said, I'm of Peter, that's Cephas. Some said, I'm of Christ, as if the rest of you are for the devil. Division. Yet, the Bible says they came behind in no gift. Yeah, so you know God is gracious, right? God once spoke Hebrew through a donkey. I guess if you can use a donkey, I think you can use me too. I think you can use any of us. So the fact that gifts of the Spirit flow through you doesn't make you something. But you see, listen to me. When you begin to operate in the power of God, it can put the spotlight on you. If you don't prepare yourself, you ruin yourself. Are you listening to me? So yes, it's grace. Yes, we are not going to go into a works mentality about it. But you see, God is at work in us, causing us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. There's grace also to live right. There's grace also to worship him so that we bring glory to Jesus. Sometimes I ask myself, if I do this thing now, what effect will it have on the body of Christ? What will it do to the people of God? What will he do to the name of Jesus? Sometimes some things you tell yourself, it's not worth it. Just not worth it. Because gifts of the Spirit magnify Jesus. And we want to magnify him. So that was my second point. Well, my third point, and I have to start fixing to quit, we'll continue in the evening, is this. Gifts of the Spirit confirm the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Gifts of the Spirit confirm the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Now, in Mark 16, verses 15 through to 20, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Then he says, 19, and after he had spoken these words unto them, were received up into heaven, sat at the right hand of God. 20 says, and they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. See, gifts of the Spirit confirm the preaching and the teaching of God's word. If you want to see more manifestations of the Holy Ghost, preach and teach God's word some more. See, Brother Higgins said one time, one particular church he was pastoring, he said, he was reading this portion of scriptures in Mark 16. Then he said, Lord, how come I'm not seeing more manifestations, more signs and wonders in this church? So he wanted to pray, oh God. Now, it's scriptural to pray for manifestations of the Spirit, right? Zechariah 10:1 says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, and the Lord will make bright showers. You know, Lord will give rains, you know, make bright showers for everyone, grass in the field, and so on. So it's scriptural to ask for that. Are you listening? But based on this scripture, he was saying, God, Mark 16, you said you confirm your word with signs. I'm not seeing the signs. This was in the 40s. You know, how come I'm not seeing the signs? He said, the Lord told him, the answer is in that verse. So what do you mean? It's right there. He said, preach the word. He said, if you preach the word, you see the signs. He said, but that's what I'm doing. The Lord said, no, that's not what you're doing. He said, check up on what you're preaching. Then he found out he was preaching 60% word, 35% unbelief, and like 5% tradition. Said he wiped that out of unbelief immediately. Said the tradition was the most difficult part. You know, there's some things that we preach that are not necessarily word. They're just tradition. The more we put out God's word, put the word first. Put the word first. You see, I'll say this. When it comes to ministering in the gifts of the Spirit, ministering in the power of God, especially ministers that have a reputation that they minister that way, they're anointed along some of those lines. See, there's a danger. There's a danger. I'm glad I saw this early in ministry. There's a danger. What's that danger? If you are not careful, because that's what people want. Because that's what's sensational. Because that's what gets the crowds. If you're not careful, you won't take your preaching ministry seriously. You won't take your teaching ministry seriously. You just want to be flowing in the Spirit. That's all you want to do. You just want to be flowing in the Spirit. But you see, what brings the sinner to a decision is not signs and wonders. Signs and wonders will get his attention. But it is the preaching of the word that will get faith to his heart for the new birth. It is the preaching of the word that will walk on his will and bring him to a decision for Jesus. Same thing with believers. What's going to cause believers to grow up? 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Acts 20:32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So it's God's word that will build us up. It's God's word that will give us an inheritance. So we must put the word first. We must put the teaching and the preaching of the word first. And then let gifts of the Spirit be secondary. Now, the thing too is this. When you put the preaching and teaching of the word first, it enables you to go further in the gifts of the Spirit. I know you want to hear more about this. I would like to. Amen. But we'll continue in the evening. The service obviously is going to continue. Praise God. It's going to continue. And we expect great things to happen. Who's the person with a lump? Every head bowed and eye closed. Someone's got a lump. A lump. A lump. Who's the person with a lump? A lump. Who's it? Praise God. Just lift up your hand. All right. Yeah. You're the one? Okay. In the name of Jesus, I curse that growth. I command you to dry up, to wither, and to be no more. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So that's what's going to happen to it. That's what's going to happen to it. There's someone with it's almost like a deformity, I'll call it, you know. Something is wrong with your back. Your back. Yeah, something is wrong with your back. Praise God. Glory to God. Father, you're a good father. In the name of Jesus, I speak to that backbone. I speak to that spine. I speak to that situation. I say, be healed.
Amen.
Be made whole.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, he's our father, right? And he's a good father. He's a good father. Someone, you're contemplating quitting. Even suicide thoughts have come to your mind because of certain things that happened. Yeah, you went through a rough patch, a very rough patch, the last quarter of this year. And it's not like the early part of the year was much better either, you know? And you've been saying, look, is it not better to quit? Is it not better to quit? I don't know how long I can continue like this. I don't know if I can continue like this. Thoughts have crossed your mind. Maybe I should just end it all. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand, but this is what I'll ask you. Make sure you talk with your pastor. Listen to me. Don't quit. Don't quit. Many may be the afflictions. Many may be the tests and the trials of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's not God that brought the test. It's not God that brought the trial. You had a business loss. You know, you lost loads and loads of money. And then you're wondering, but I prayed. Yeah, but you also had a check. You shouldn't have done it. And you overrode that check. So it wasn't God. So don't be mad at God. God is the very person that will help get you out of it. So don't be mad at him. Know this. God loves you. And he's not quitting on you. So don't quit on him. Don't quit on him. Let's lift our hands to Jesus and just thank him.